Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster. In Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where'd my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve, cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist on the podcast. Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bait that scare ya, Machado or Bono or no.
And here we go on July 29th on a Friday. We've got a mini mailbag show for you. Stick around for the end of the show. Going to read a lot of your questions at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Good questions today, Chris. The audience, they have excellent questions.
Well, that's good. I know. I understand what's going on.
What
I understand
that?
That you have to kill time with a mailbag because you don't trust me to hold a show up on my own as a tentpole.
No, it's not that I don't trust you. It's that yesterday it was kind of a dull day in baseball.
It was not a great day for baseball.
Except we have two trades to talk about. Andrew Cashner was just dealt to the Miami Marlins, and last night Eduardo Nunez became a San Francisco Giant, and people are wondering if they should drop Eduardo Nunez. What do you think, Chris Towers? That's one sigh. I'm gonna keep the sigh-o-meter up.
I think you should. Do you have one of those? Do you have one of those things that like umpires use? The little hand clicker things.
I wish.
I think that would be good.
We'll have to Roman numeral it instead.
I'm not totally opposed to dropping Eduardo Nunez. His ability to play multiple positions could help keep him in the lineup, but. You know, once Panic gets back, there's not going to be room for him in the infield.
Oh, no, Panic is back once Duffy gets back.
Okay. There's not an everyday spot for him, so it's going to take a lot of juggling to get him in the lineup every day. And I'm not sure he's as good as he was in the first half.
Well, he's not, but I actually have some pretty interesting stats on Eduardo Nunez. And today we're going to talk about David Price, potentially big development for Jacob deGrom. Johnny Cueto's been struggling. We'll talk about those guys. Should you pick up Zach Davies? Should you pick up Yordano Ventura if he's available? Tyler Anderson is less than 30% owned. We'll look at two-star pitchers for next week. We'll spend a little bit of time on this Nunez trade first. And, okay, so Nunez, since the start of July, which is now 28 days, and you can always sort by the last 28 days on our stats page in our leagues, he's batting .235.
Yeah.
With a .264 on base, a .306 slugging, but even with all that, really bad hitting, one home run, he's got 9 steals and 10 attempts, and Nunez is the number 11 shortstop in fantasy in both points leagues and roto leagues. Now, here's the deal with the Giants. They trade a minor league pitcher, Adalberto Mejia, apologize for that, Joe Panik's off the DL, and Duffy is probably going to start a rehab assignment tomorrow. But they're going to, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, GM Bobby Evans said he is not being replaced by Eduardo Nunez. But they're going to rest Duffy once or twice a week. Also, he's recovering from an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
Also, he's had a really bad year. So I guess if I own Nunez, especially in a categories or a roto league, I'm not dropping him yet.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's mostly for the stolen bases. Actually, a big part of why he's still remained useful in fantasy in the month of July, despite being such a bad hitter, is he has 15 RBI.
Yeah, that's
on
true.
23 hits.
Yeah,
that's probably not a sustainable pace. Just putting it out there.
It's not.
You know, it's his worst month by far, and yet he has 3 more RBI than either June or May. He's still scored 10 runs. That seems fluky to me. That seems like something that he's not going to be able to sustain if he's only playing, you know, 4 or 5 days a week. At that point, you might be looking at a guy that is strictly a stolen bases specialist.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see how it plays out. Let's at least wait until Matt Duffy comes back, because you never know if there are setbacks and rehab assignments.
Sure.
Before we do anything with Eduardo Nunez. As far as the Cashner deal, he's going to the Marlins, and I don't know if he'll be a two-star pitcher next week. He had two great matchups, Milwaukee and Philadelphia, if he had stayed with the Padres. But what's your take on Cashner going to the Marlins along with Colin Ray? Value up, down, or the same for Cashner, and any interest in Ray?
I would say at best it stays the same. The Padres' offense has been really good lately, so I'm not sure he gets the upgrade there. I'm not sure he really gets the park upgrade. Maybe the Marlins are a better defensive team, but I think you're hoping that his value stays the same.
But he's been pitching, you know, pretty well. I think there's some encouraging stuff lately. Are you buying in at all to Andrew Cashner? Two size. All right. Yes. I love
this. Okay. Well, you look at, first of all, you're not using Andrew Cashner next week, even if he is a two-star pitcher. Because here's who he would be going against. Adam Conley is a two-star pitcher for next week. He is at the Chicago Cubs and at the Colorado Rockies.
Okay, yeah.
Those are the matchups the Marlins have, so you are definitely not starting Andrew Cashner. He has been really good over his last, what, three starts?
Yes.
But he's always been a pitcher that has more apparent upside than he ever actually lives up to, with the lone exception being 2014 when he had the 2.55 ERA. But even then, he only had 7 strikeouts per 9. So it's a tough situation with him where it's hard to figure out exactly how much upside he has. I think he's worth a look, but I'm not like rushing out to add him.
Now, Cashner, I think, you know, one thing that's been very important this year is the development of new pitches. We've seen it for Michael Fulmer. We've seen it for Matt Shoemaker. It's taken them to a new level. I'm fairly interested in Nate Eovaldi developing a cutter. The point is the slider for Andrew Cashner. It's not a new pitch, but he's throwing it more frequently now. Now, look, I was excited about Eduardo Rodriguez's slider, and he had a really bad start. I was excited about James Paxton's curveball, and he had a pretty lackluster start against the Pirates. So maybe there'll be some inconsistency, but Cashner better with the slider in his last, certainly two of the last three starts. Not sure about the Blue Jays start, but I thought that was a development that was at least making Cashner a little bit more intriguing.
Let's see. Yeah, he's throwing it a bit more over his last, it looks like his last 6 starts. There wasn't really a big difference over the last 3, but that's one potential answer. In the start against the Cardinals, he threw it over 40% of the time, which is really high.
Okay. That was a good start, correct? That was recent?
Yeah, that was one of the, that was 2 starts ago.
Oh, that was a great start for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So those are your trades. We'll have more trade deadline rumors. By the time we're on the air again on Monday, it's going to be a very different landscape around baseball.
Yeah.
And the bullpens in particular. We'll have to talk about Papelbon. I don't think you should be worried. Heath. Wow. I'm sorry. I called you Heath.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. My bad.
Dude, well,
I wish Heath were here because he picked up Alex Gordon in a league yesterday. It's a deep league, but I kind of want to make fun of him for that. But Chris, I don't think Jerry's Familia owner should be worried about Familia losing his job. Do you?
I don't think so at all.
Yeah. But
you save 52 in a row, you get a couple.
Yeah. But Addison Reed's had a really good year. So if something happens, Reed's having a great year. Question for you. How on earth did Boston score only 1 run against Jared Weaver and the Angels last night?
That was so frustrating.
They were
by far our number one stack on Daily Fantasy Live yesterday. We were all in. I think we all had various permutations of Boston Red Sox stacks, and that's baseball. You know, I mean, Don Kelly had 2 triples in a game 2 days ago. You cannot predict baseball. It's on a day-to-day basis, the most impossible game to predict.
We will try our best. Here's your quote of the day from a very candid and frustrated manager, Pete Maccannon of the Philadelphia Phillies. Quote, he's not the same guy. He's just struggling with command once again. He's not dotting his fastball like he normally does, and his curveball is erratic. He needs to get back on track. That's McCannon speaking about Aaron Nola, who gave up 8 hits and 3 walks in 5 innings against the Atlanta Braves, ran into a little bit of bad luck and had a bad defensive play behind him in the 3-run 5th inning. He had held the Braves scoreless up until that point. 95 pitches, 61 strikes. Very interesting that he is getting a ton of ground balls through these 8 really bad starts. I mean, over 1.5 ground balls per fly ball, which is better than what he was getting when he had a 2.65 ERA in his first, I think, 12 starts. But, you know, you've been saying optimistic things about Aaron Nola, who's now 82% owned, so he's available in some shallower leagues. Are you still feeling optimistic about Nola turning his season around?
The one thing with Aaron Nola is, and I see now you're in my head and I'm sighing every time I speak.
You know what? Do we count that? Because that was kind of a half sigh. I got 3.5 now.
Aaron Nola, the problem with him has always been that even when he was drafted, coming out of college, he was one of the top prospects coming into the draft, but it was always, he's major league ready right now. We don't know how much upside he has. He gets into the majors, he starts striking out guys way more than he was in the minors. And the concern there is that it was a little fluky. Or even if you don't want to say it's fluky, it's just that the margin for error on him is really small. He doesn't have overpowering stuff, so if he's not completely on his game, which is what it sounds like Pete McCannon thinks it is, he's going to get hit hard because he can't. There are some pitchers that can afford to make mistakes. There are some pitchers that can afford to be at 80%. But, you know, Aaron Nola has still pretty solid peripherals overall. I think he might be a guy that just goes through stretches like this.
So you're still considering Aaron Nola a buy low candidate?
Sure, especially if someone dropped him. I would go out and get him. I think he can have another stretch like he had earlier in the season if he irons out some of the mechanical flaws.
And all those pitchers we talked about yesterday, I can't imagine dropping Aaron Nola for Dylan Bundy or James Paxton or Sean Manaea. You know?
Right.
You could be wrong about that, but I just couldn't imagine doing it.
That's tough. Maybe it depends where my rotation is. If I really need someone to use right now, I think I might go with a hot hand on those.
Okay, to the bullpen now. Jairus Familia blew the save, his second in as many days, but we talked about that. Tyler Clippard, he's been really bad. 7 earned runs in his last 3 appearances. He's kind of like Papelbon. Both of them had sub-3 ERAs before their last 3 appearances. Both of them are struggling. One of the differences, though, Clippard has done it in 3 straight non-save situations.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't think he's gotten a save since the Ziegler trade. It's kind of worked out that way. And he's comes in like a 4-run game. He'll give up 3 runs. He'll hang on and whatever. But Chip Hale's very annoyed. And he said bullpen changes may be coming. So, I don't know. People are looking at Jake Barrett. He threw a scoreless inning yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that somebody that should be picked up right now? Jake Barrett, 4% owned.
I guess part of the problem is that you're looking at a team that may not win that many games moving forward. Jake Barrett has probably been the Diamondbacks' best reliever this season, but he's got, you know, a handful of the same issues that Tyler Clippard does, especially with home runs. It hasn't been as much of an issue for him this season. I don't know. I never feel great about speculating on saves. I want to wait until the move is actually made, especially if it's someone like Barrett who's not owned at all. But you know, if the roles do start to look like they're changing in the next couple of days, yeah, I'll go pick up Jake Barrett.
Yeah, just Clippard. I mean, Clippard striking out a ton of batters, 46 and for him, you know, 46 and 37 and 2/3. He's not having that bad of a year until the last 3 appearances, and it's got a sub-3 ERA 3 straight years. Leading up to this, he's got a 2.97 career ERA.
So the big thing with him, and I think the Papelbon comp works here as well, is that the ERA was fine, but the FIP was way higher. And now he's actually reached the point where the FIP and the ERA have met. He's at 4.30 for the ERA, 4.31 for the FIP. He just might have been pitching over his head, and I think that's what was happening with Papelbon, and there's a little regression to the mean.
All right, well, Papelbon got pulled after giving up a walk and a hit in the 9th inning. So Papelbon comes in to start the 9th in a 4-1 game. They're leading at San Francisco. He gets an out, gives up a single, and then a walk. Oliver Perez comes in. Perez, issues left-handed pitcher, issues a walk, then gets an out on an RBI fielder's choice. That run was charged to Papelbon.
Yep.
Sean Kelly comes in and gets a save for, you know, his fifth save, gets one out. And I don't know that Sean Kelly is the answer. It's just I think there's going to be someone else there by Monday.
Yeah, I think the next couple of saves for the Nationals are probably going to come from someone who's not currently on the roster.
And I think Wade Davis is really an option. And we actually have an interesting story on our website from Mike Exisa about four red flags for Wade Davis.
Yes.
Did you read that?
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers are a little worse across the board. In some ways, the walk rate is up, I think, it's almost twice as high as it was last year. Wade Davis said he doesn't see any reason for it. He said his stuff isn't any different. It's not flatter. He's not throwing any different. But the results speak for themselves. You know, his strikeout rate's down from 31.1% to 23.7%. That's the second straight year that it's dropped by roughly the same amount. So. That is definitely concerning. He was 39% in 2014, 31% last year, 24% this year.
But he's still so effective. He's got a 160 ERA, you know, and only 22 hits and 33 and two thirds. So if he gets traded to the Nationals, I wouldn't have any problem with it.
Oh, yeah. And, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. And Kelvin Herrera would obviously become an option. Much more coming up in just a little bit. But guys, if you want to look good and you want to dominate, you need yourself an awesome suit, and we've got a great deal for you at Indochino.com when you enter FBT at checkout. That's FBT as in fantasy baseball today. Made-to-measure suits. They're affordable and available to the masses thanks to Indochino. A made-to-measure suit so much better than what you're going to get at a typical department store. I've bought both. I'm going to buy myself an Indochino suit because we've got a great deal. You're going to look better. You're going to feel better, more confident. It's one of a kind. It's uniquely yours. That's an awesome feeling. And now it's affordable. Indochino is ready to give you the best suit you will ever own. So it's time to suit up with custom linings, lapels, monograms, and plenty more. And Indochino also has made-to-measure dress shirts and men's accessories. I'm getting my custom suit. Here's how you can get yours. And I really am getting a custom suit because a deal like this doesn't come along very often. Our listeners get any premium suit for just $399. That is up to 50% off at Indochino.com when you enter FBT. Again, FBT as in fantasy baseball today at checkout. And shipping is free. So there's no reason not to try your first custom-made suit with a deal this good. And a suit classic from their premium collection will look good, feel good, and last. Very important. It's going to last a long, long time. That's Indochino.com. The promo code is FBT for any premium suit for just $399 and free shipping. Indochino, your look, your way. So, some trade deadline stuff, other than Eduardo Nunez on the move and Andrew Cashner on the move. The Rangers still need a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And Ken Rosenthal had reported that Miami and Texas were the leaders for Andrew Cashner, and Miami got him.
Yeah, that's surprising. You would think if Texas wanted him, they have six players that are more valuable than who the Marlins gave up.
Yeah. Target Field. Did you see what happened with the Target Field scoreboard?
I did not.
Okay, this is very funny. They started showing on their scoreboard these trades. They start showing Carlos Beltran to the Indians, Will Smith to the Mets. They were, I guess, promoting an MLB.com article listing five hypothetical trades. And they just start putting them on the scoreboard.
Oops. Like, without, like they were just like, Carlos Beltran to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And people,
it's so weird.
That's fun.
Ivan Nova seems very likely to get traded. So, Luis Severino, I think last check, he was about 30% owned. He could re-enter the Yankees rotation. And he threw two scoreless innings out of the bullpen against the Astros. Teams apparently are interested in John Jay. They should be. He's the nicest guy in baseball. Teams are interested in Taijuan Walker, according to USA Today. And the Mets remain interested in Jonathan Lucroy, according to Ken Rosenthal. So we'll see what happens. A lot of aces on the mound last night. Some of them, Chris, aced the test. And in some cases, aces were wild.
What?
Yeah, so let's go to who aced the test. David Price. 8 innings, 7 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Was flipping around between politics and the Angels-Red Sox game. Saw some of this start for Price. A lot of ground balls. And I noticed that he wasn't getting a lot of swinging strikes. It was the Angels. But 17 ground balls, 5 fly balls. The Angels, by the way, pretty good against lefties. Top 10 OPS against lefties. Are you satisfied with this from David Price? 8 scoreless with 6 Ks and how many swinging strikes? I think only like 7.
I've expected 9. Him to go on a really big tear, run, whatever the terminology you want to use is. What is interesting to me is he had that stretch at the end of June, early July, where he struck out 10 batters in 3 straight starts. In 3 starts since, he has 11 strikeouts. Yeah. I'm not necessarily concerned. I just think it's interesting. I think he has the ability to be a very good strikeout pitcher. I think he can also be successful even if he's not getting strikeouts as he showed last night.
Price or Carrasco rest of season?
Probably still, I would go, I think I'd go Price.
We're up to 4.5 size now. Price or, we'll get to him in a second, but Johnny Cueto.
Cueto.
Cueto, okay. Cole Hamels aced the test last night. Here's what's awesome about Hamels, who's now the number 10 starting pitcher in points leagues, number 12 in Roto, and struck out 12 across 8 innings, 2 earned runs.
Whole Hamels.
What'd you say, Whole Hamels?
Whole Hamels.
Yeah, Whole Hamels. Top 12 pitcher. Only 2 home runs in his last 8 starts.
That's good.
That is good.
How many of them have... most of them have been on the road. He's only had 3 starts at home in that stretch. And both of those home runs did come at home. But, you know, that'll happen when you play at the ballpark in Arlington. But he's really good.
Jacob DeGrom. Yeah, I wasn't really buying Hamels a couple of months ago because I thought he was overperforming because of all the walks and all the strikeouts and all the home runs. So I traded him straight up for Jacob DeGrom. And I've just been waiting and waiting for DeGrom to go on a dominant stretch. He has probably one of the best schedules over the last month and a half in baseball. But he had been struggling a little bit with velocity. And he said yesterday, with 7 scoreless innings, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts against the Rockies, that it was the best he has felt mechanically all season. According to the article I read, the velocity was up a little bit. I didn't see any updated pitch effects. But it was a great start for Jacob DeGrom. How are you feeling about him?
Well, let's take a look at the pitch effects and see.
It wasn't updated about an hour ago, so I hope you have better luck than I do.
It was updated.
Oh, good.
It's right around the middle. He was at 93.9 miles per hour with his fastball yesterday. Previous start was down, but he had been up above that recently. So fastball velocity wasn't necessarily up, but that's also not necessarily a sign of anything except, you know, you can get more movement on a lower fastball, so it's not really a big concern, and it wasn't down significantly. So I think we're past the point where we're concerned about Jacob DeGrom's fastball velocity.
DeGrom, Price, Hamels, rank them.
I tried to mix it up.
Yeah,
there.
That was interesting. I don't know what that was.
DeGrom, Price, Hamels.
This is tough.
I mean, I think they're all in the, 7 to 12 range. You're not really going to find any of them outside of that range. I would probably go Price, DeGrom, Hamels.
All right. And Tanner Roark deserves to be in this ace category. He's only 63% started. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts for Roark at San Francisco. And I guess there have been some hiccups. His last start was bad, but still a 2.96 ERA. Why would Tanner Roark only be 63% started?
Yeah, I can't even make the argument that it was an opponent thing, because at least he was pitching in San Francisco, which is always a great place to get the opportunity to pitch. I mean, it does feel a little, it feels a little smoke and mirrorsy still with him, even 140 innings into the season, that he has a sub 3 ERA, just because the strikeout rate's not quite there, and it's been declining as the season's gone on, which is a reason to be a little concerned. But yeah, Tanner Roark's good.
Yeah. Would you rather have Roark or Stroman? Oh, it's got to be Roark, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to let go of the word potential when it comes to Marcus Stroman, but yeah, it has to be Roark.
Would you rather have Roark or Masahiro Tanaka?
Tanaka.
Roark or Wainwright?
Wainwright.
Okay, okay. Aces were wild yesterday, Johnny Cueto. And I don't mean wild in the literal sense, but Cueto has a 4.26 ERA over his last six starts. And remember, he really slumped in the second half with the Royals last year. He had a 4.76 ERA. It was later in the year than this because he was a deadline deal guy. Cueto, Chris Sale, by his standards, has been a little bit off in the last four starts. And he was probably shaking off a bit of rust yesterday.
I don't know how much, like, he wasn't like terrible coming out of the All-Star break, you know? It's not like that layoff hurt him.
No, it was the long layoff because he had his last start skipped and then a 5-game suspension.
Yeah.
That's all I meant. Oh, you're comparing it to the All-Star break. Well, here's an interesting stat I saw on ESPN.com. This was the first start in his career in which Chris Sale did not record a strikeout in the first three innings.
I really do think that the thing with Chris Sale is that he's just not as good a pitcher as he was last year.
Oh, well, he's not as good a strikeout pitcher as he was last year, but...
He's not as good a pitcher as he was last year. Like, because
ERA is 3.17 now, but he just had a start where he gave up 8 runs against Atlanta. Other than that, he was the Cy Young, probably, in the American League.
I'm skeptical of the... I don't get why we would remove the bad starts, you know? Like, he is what his record dictates, and, you know, if you look at the peripherals...
But that's what I said about Sale coming into the year, and you, I think everybody pretty much, but you and Heath in particular were higher on Sale, because I had said he had never finished inside the top 10, or maybe he had finished 10th, and it was pretty amazing, whether it was because of injury, or a lack of wins, or a higher than what you would expect ERA from Chris Sale, which is kind of where it is now in the low threes. He could be like a 270 guy, and he hardly ever is.
Except
for strikeouts.
Well, his FIP is 370. His Sierra is 366. Most of the defense independent pitching stats that we have point to one conclusion, that he's been significantly worse this season than in years past. It is the strikeout rate, yes, but it's also the fact that he's sacrificed strikeouts without an increase in ground ball rate, without an increase in home run to fly ball, or a decrease in home run to fly ball ratio, without better control. All the things that you would typically look at and say, well, he's pitching to contact, but these are the things that you could trade off strikeouts in order to improve as a pitcher. He's not getting more soft contact. He's actually getting hit harder this season. His average exit velocity is up. Every indicator that we have, except for ERA, indicates that he's a worse pitcher than he was last season, and I think the ERA is starting to catch up.
All that said, how good of a pitcher do you think Chris Sale is? Would he still be in your top 10?
In terms of what I expect from him moving forward, I think he probably comes into the top 10, but like, that's mostly just deferring to his track record rather than what he's been this season.
I find this fascinating. I mean, the guy started in the All-Star game.
Yeah,
I'm not really buying this advanced metric stuff. He's Chris Sale. He's made a conscious effort to cut down on strikeouts so we can pitch deeper into games.
Right, but he's made a conscious effort to be a worse pitcher. You know, like
bad could it be? The results are pretty good. He's honestly had one bad start, and other than that, he's been awesome.
Okay, I mean, I'm just telling you my opinion.
I actually think it's a very interesting opinion, and I'm kind of fascinated to see where it goes.
I think the decision to pitch more to contact, to go deeper into games, I think it's a bad decision to make. I think for most pitchers it is. If you're getting more ground balls, if you're doing a better job of preventing home runs, if you're doing a better job of preventing runners on base, fine. But otherwise, you're leaving yourself up to the whims of the defense and the BABIP gods, and I don't think that's ever a good idea.
Now, I should say, I said he had one bad start. I would say he's had three bad starts this year. Certainly two. And I would say three. So it wasn't just a brave start.
Well, he's given up, you know, 14 runs in his last four starts.
Eight of them coming in one start. And Sale's last start before last night, which was two runs at the Cubs in six innings, not bad, was eight scoreless innings with one hit against Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? This is really interesting. Let's see where it takes us. And Jose Fernandez, second bad start in his last five. Any concerns there, Chris?
No, he struggled against former Cuban Little League teammate Aledmys Diaz.
Yes.
Did you see that picture? How amazing is that?
I didn't see the picture. I saw the home run, though.
Someone posted a picture of Aledmys Diaz, like a 5-year-old Jose Fernandez and a 7-year-old Aledmys Diaz on the same Little League team in Cuba.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Injuries, news, and notes. Yoenis Cespedes could miss a few days with a recurring quad injury. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I don't think this is a good sign. If somebody offered me Yoenis Cespedes right now, it would have to be extremely cheap for me to take him. He had to move away from center field because of the quad. Now he's out of the lineup again. Just don't like it, Chris. Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay. Jake Lamb entered as a pinch hitter. Got a couple of at-bats yesterday. Juan Lagares is going on the DL for the Mets with a partially torn ligament in his thumb. Brandon Nimmo is going to be recalled and I guess frees up more at-bats for Conforto.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Yeah, those two notes together would indicate Conforto is going to get more playing time.
Jonathan Villar was benched for bad base running in Wednesday's game. Just seemed like they wanted him to learn a little bit of a lesson. Should be fine going forward. David Peralta will come off the DL today. And yesterday, after I was so happy about Ryan Braun playing, I think it was actually Wednesday, playing like 26 of 27 games, whatever it was, he got a rest, which is fine. Atlanta sending down Matt Whisker to AAA. That's an autocorrect for last night's pitcher, Matt Whisker. He's going to AAA. Gerardo Parra is going to begin a rehab assignment today. Hunter Pence could come off the DL this weekend. We have some Hunter Pence questions coming up in our mailbag, and I will let everybody know that when Pence was healthy, his numbers weren't eye-popping, but he was, I'm pretty sure, number 22 in points leagues, number 25 in Roto at the outfield position. So keep that in mind. Joey Gallo and Mitch Moreland are going to split time at first base. Judicial Profar, according to my phone, sat yesterday.
According to my phone, the Marlins traded for Colin Area.
Oh, Colin Area.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty big, spacious pitcher. not a good joke. Joey Gallo, Mitch Moreland anyway, they're going to split time at first base. They were both in the lineup yesterday. Moreland homered twice. He never seems to go away. Very annoying. It's like a mosquito. Trevor Plouffe going to begin a rehab assignment today, and Alex Reyes could start tomorrow for the Cardinals. They need an extra starting pitcher because of a doubleheader they played earlier this week. Scott wrote a pretty good story on it on the website. He said he probably shouldn't be that interested. He's struggling with control in the minors, and it's probably, if Reyes comes up, just a one-and-done thing anyway. Let's check out the young guys again. A couple from yesterday and one new one. Trey Turner, 64% owned. Ben Revere sat. Trey Turner led off, played center field, two hits, a run, a steal, a walk, and a strikeout, and an RBI at San Francisco. 64% owned. This is awesome.
Get him in the everyday lineup somehow. I don't care if you trade him. I don't care if you bench Ben Revere, who's not that good anyway. Let's just get Trey Turner in the everyday lineup.
All right, yeah. I mean, look, he's leading off and playing center field. I think that's a vote of confidence for him. Wilson Contreras, I was just wondering to myself yesterday, how does he rank since his call-up and since his first major league at-bat, which was on my birthday? This is the third time that I've used the date range this week that started on my birthday on June 19th. That's when he homered in his first at-bat. Wilson Contreras is the number three catcher in points leagues with the most at-bats at the position and number seven in Roto. He has cooled off a bit, though, and he's cooled off considerably.
Yeah.
And I am still interested to see if I think he caught yesterday, Contreras, but if Soler eats into his playing time a little bit.
That's an issue with the Cubs all around, is that unless you're one of the like core six guys, there are a lot of guys battling for playing time who are really talented.
And David Dahl, he played left field in an NL Park, no more DH. He stayed in the lineup. He went 2-for-3 with a run scored, a walk and a strikeout, and he batted six. So Trey Turner, 64% owned. David Dahl is 58% owned. So far in NL Parks, good signs, but it's only one game.
I would definitely like to see the Rockies make a move in the next couple of days to get him an everyday role.
All right, because I want to spend time on emails, I was going to talk about Freddie Freeman. He's having a pretty interesting year. Freddie Freeman is having his best power year because he has homered 18 times in in each of the last three seasons, 18 home runs, but 2 years ago it was 162 games. Last year was 118 games. Now 101 games for Freeman to reach 18 home runs, career high slugging percentage, but batting .218 with runners in scoring position with 23 walks at 105 plate appearances. So he's probably just not getting anything to hit in that lineup. And that is likely contributing to 42 runs batted in.
Yeah.
In
100. I mean, that's such a crazy low number for a guy that's having a solid season. Also doesn't help that he was playing with a cracked rib on his left side for most of June, which is crazy. He's had a very up and down season, though.
He has, but at right now, Freddie Freeman is the number 13 first baseman in points leagues, number 17 in Roto. I actually think in a categories league, you know, one first baseman in a utility, maybe you're playing in one of those typical Yahoo leagues.
Yeah.
I don't know that you have to own Freddie Freeman, even though he's having a good year.
You probably want to own him. I don't know if you have to start him, though.
That's, yeah, maybe that's a better way of putting it. Anthony Rendon has 6 hits, including a home run and a double, with 3 walks and 2 steals and 3 attempts in his last 5 games. Encouraging development there. We'll keep an eye on it.
He's been good for about the last 2 months.
Okay. Let's see. Michael Wacha. If you want to take a look at what he's done in his last 9 starts, he's basically been Michael Wacha. 4-1 with a 3.44 ERA, a 1.27 WHIP, which was a little high. 45 strikeouts in 55 innings. Nothing spectacular, but that makes him the number 24 starting pitcher in points leagues, number 45 in Roto. So basically, hard to sit Michael Wacha.
Yeah, he's fine. Still been a very disappointing season. Still think we might have had too high expectations, but a mid-3s ERA seems like a reasonable expectation moving forward.
Do you want to own any of these guys who are, you know, somewhat available to very available? Yordano Ventura, 62% owned. Zach Davies, 57% owned. He had a 2.35 ERA in 9 starts before last night, in which he gave up 2 runs in 6 1/3 at against Arizona. So that's Yordano Ventura and Zach Davies. Kyle Gibson, 2 gems, basically, against Baltimore and at Boston in his last two.
Two of the toughest matchups you could possibly have.
Weird stuff, man. And Tyler Anderson, 25% owned. He's got a 3.33 ERA. He gave up 1 run at the Mets yesterday, and just he's been good.
I will say, Heath was talking the other day about how he needs to bring a big tub of Tums into the office, and I think that might be from watching Yordano Ventura pitch too much. He'll have decent starts, and then he'll be really bad, and I have trouble buying into him. I think I said with Stroman earlier that it's hard to talk about upside still. I think with Yordano Ventura, it's even more clear that there's just not much a point actually chasing that upside anymore.
So if you were going to own 2 pitchers from this group, Ventura, Davies, Gibson, and Tyler Anderson, who would they be?
It's still Ventura and Davies. But there are, you know, I'd rather own Dylan Bundy than any of them.
Sure. Okay, Chris, a look at the most added players, and then we'll do 2 start pitchers. We have plenty of time for emails. I want to remind everybody, though, that you're really missing out if you're not playing on FanDuel. 14 games on the schedule tonight. The Cubs always have to be weird and play a day game. But if you play the night slate, got a great chance to win some money on FanDuel.com. Now, we love playing daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. When I started playing, I really didn't know what to expect, and I was hooked pretty quickly. It's really exciting. Different strategies, different than your seasonal leagues. You're looking for different things and splits to pick up on, things of that nature. And you get to have a new team every single day, which is just really cool. Injuries aren't really a factor. Having to make a decision like, do I start Andrew McCutchen? He's been bad and has only 5 games this week. Do I start him? Well, you can make that decision on a day-by-day basis on FanDuel.com, and it's more unique, and in some ways it's better. And if you use our promo code HOMERUN, one word, no spaces, HOMERUN, sign up on FanDuel.com with that promo code, enter your first contest, and either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel's automatically refunding your money up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, and that promo code is HOMERUN. Okay, so, most added list. We've got David Dahl, number 1. We've got Tyler Skaggs, number 2. Jed Jerko, number 3. Alex Bregman, 4, at 79%. He's the most owned on this list.
Yeah.
And Alex Dickerson and Ryan Schimpf combining, well, tying at fifth and sixth on this list, or fifth on this list, both are 20% owned. Dahl, Skaggs, Jerko, Bregman, Dickerson, Schimpf. You talk now.
Okay. I don't know how much interest I have in Jed Jerko. I just don't know about the playing time for him. It's been a nice run. He had a really good series against his former team in San Diego, which was nice to see, but it's just don't know how much I trust the playing time. Bregman, obviously, 79% owned. That seems a little low to me just because of how much hype there was. He hasn't hit yet.
No, he hasn't.
But I don't know. George Springer struggled in his first couple of weeks. It happens with the young guys. I guess part of the problem would be that there isn't enough season left. He doesn't have much runway here. He's got to start hitting pretty quickly or else it's not going to be worth owning him.
What about Dickerson and Schimpf for the Padres?
One thing that I'm interested in seeing is what else the Padres got back in that deal, whether it was another prospect or whether, you know, the only extraneous piece the Marlins have is Derek Dietrich, who is a guy who can play in the outfield, can play in the infield, would cut into playing time in San Diego. If that happened, I get a feeling that that might, so it's worth keeping an eye on that. I'm still not buying this Padres offense being a good thing, but it's been a nice run.
Got an email here from Brian in Kentucky. Just came in a minute ago. He said, I didn't pick up Tyler Skaggs this week because of his rest of season schedule. And if you could maybe pull up the Angels schedule just to sort of loosely confirm what Brian is saying here.
Okay.
Seattle, Houston, Boston. And I know he has Boston this weekend at home.
Yes.
Cleveland, Toronto, Detroit, and Texas. Is Skaggs matchup proof, or does that concern you?
Okay, well, the next few turns in the rotation, he's looking at Boston, Seattle, and Cleveland. That's who he's matched up against. Then Seattle, Yankees,
Toronto, Detroit, Texas.
He might get the Blue Jays. He might get... Yeah, I mean, there are some really tough stretches. However, there's also a stretch where he could get, you know, Cincinnati, Oakland, and then, you know, Seattle. That's not a terrible stretch. Look, the thing with Tyler Skaggs is if you're picking him up based on what he showed in his minor league rehab assignment, you're hoping he's pretty matchup proof, and you're hoping that the upside is there that you're going to want to start him, you know, not against every matchup, you know, not starting him against Boston, but you're hoping that he's going to be good enough. It's a lottery ticket, basically.
It's
and you're hoping he's going to,
though.
Yeah, that it's a really
it's a good email.
The Angels have a very tough schedule coming up. That is something to keep in mind. And it could, you know, I guess if you're choosing between maybe Bundy and Skaggs or maybe Cashner and Skaggs, that could be a tiebreaker.
Manaea and Skaggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. That's a really good email there and very helpful. And we have another email that I was going to read later, but I'm going to read it now because it's about Ryan Schimpf, who's on the most added list. Let me just pull it. Oh, here it is. It's from Evan from Oakland. He says, Dear White, LaFleur, and Patches.
Oh, yeah. Dodgeball.
Dodgeball, yeah. It's never too early to start thinking about next year's team name. Please ring in with your favorite of these four. Popcorn Schimpf, Peel and Eat Schimpf, Schimpf Fried Rice, and Coconut Schimpf.
I would just go with a picture of Bubba from Forrest Gump. And
okay,
one of
that
those.
Could be your avatar, but what about your team name? Popcorn Schimpf, Peel and Eat Schimpf, Schimpf like Fried Rice,
eat,
Coconut
Peel
Schimpf.
Peel and Eat Schimpf.
That's my least favorite one. It's too long. I like Fried Rice.
I like a longer one.
All right.
You know, get a Schimpf boil.
I like shrimp is one of the only seafoods I can tolerate.
I'm a big shrimp guy. Shrimp's great.
More on the most added list. Zach Eflin, Tyler Naquin, who's 68% owned. I picked up Tyler Naquin last night, and I dropped Kendrys Morales because he's horrible.
Yeah.
And I sat there. I had two choices, Tyler Naquin or Adam Duvall. And I'm thinking, like, I've got to pick up Adam Duvall, right? He's been so good this year. And no, I didn't. Picked up Tyler Naquin instead. Did I make a huge mistake?
I
points
believe,
league. Points league.
Okay.
Points categories, I would have gone Duvall.
Yeah, points league makes it really tough for Duvall because there are going to be a lot of games where he just gives everything back with the strikeout rate and just the really poor plate discipline in general. Look, I don't buy Tyler Naquin continuing to do this, but as long as he is, it's hard not to pick him up.
Okay, let's do some two-star pitchers. We talked about a lot of guys on the most added list already. Just checking out to see if anybody has bad matchups here, any of the studs. Oh, Garrett Cole at Atlanta, home against Cincinnati. That's going to be
pretty stellar. Nice.
Lance McCullers, Toronto and Texas at home. Any fears?
No.
All righty. How about Jaime Garcia at Cincinnati, home against Atlanta, but hasn't really been that good?
I think that makes him a viable two-start option, yeah. I think you can go pick him up.
Marcus Stroman at Houston and at Kansas City, start or sit?
I mean, if Marcus Stroman is ever going to get 10 strikeouts in a week, I guess that would be it with Houston on the schedule.
The Kansas City is a good matchup now.
Yeah, no, their offense is really bad, and Houston has the potential to be a really good matchup just because of the strikeout potential. I think I'm starting Marcus Stroman this week.
I'm probably sitting Doug Fister with Toronto and Texas at home.
That makes sense, yeah.
Now, like I said on Wednesday or whenever it was, Doug Fister really good against the AL West. He has one AL West game, really bad against all other teams, and Toronto, of course, you know, being about as good as it gets there.
You are obviously sitting John Gray.
You are?
Two home starts. Yes.
You're sitting John Gray?
Two home starts.
Yeah, but he's been pretty good at home, hasn't he?
He has been over the last roughly month and a half to 2 months, but it's still, you know, and the matchups aren't terrible against the Dodgers, against the Marlins, but
I don't think it's an obvious sit.
I just think it's a situation where I'm at the point with him where if he has one start at home or if it's against a bad team, I'm starting him. But the Dodgers and Marlins are closer to average. Playing in Coors Field is just two starts in Coors Field is really tough.
You're sitting Adam Conley at the Cubs and at the Rockies. Matt Moore has Kansas City and Minnesota at home, and he's been really good at home, and I think that looks pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man.
Sonny Gray, sorry, Chris. Sonny Gray at the Angels and home against the Cubs.
I think I'm sitting him.
You're sitting Brandon McCarthy. He's at Colorado and home against Boston.
Definitely.
Jimmy Nelson at San Diego and at Arizona. I don't really understand why Jimmy Nelson is 61% owned.
He's had a nice run lately. But yeah.
Look, if San Diego trades Matt Kemp and Melvin Upton, which they've already done, you know, two starts at San Diego and at Arizona, that's not terrible, right?
Yeah, at Arizona's not a great place to pitch, but he could be worth starting, yeah.
You got the matchups in front of you?
Yes.
Zach Eflin, James Paxton, Yordano Ventura, Archie Bradley, Eduardo Rodriguez, Dylan Bundy, CeCe Sabathia. And that's about it. Anybody you want from that group?
Bundy's interesting. He's got that tough start against Texas to open up the week, but the start against the White Sox could be really interesting. It is in Chicago, so there's some home run concerns, which have been an issue for him. But I could consider looking him at him like a two-start option. I think Archie Bradley, you've got the tough national start, but the start against Milwaukee could make up for that, especially, you know, almost certainly no Jonathan LaCroix in Milwaukee, potentially no Ryan Braun. They've fielded offers for him. It was just reported a couple hours ago. Beyond that, this is a group of players that has really tough matchups. James Paxton gets the Red Sox. Yordano Ventura gets the Blue Jays. Yeah, maybe Yordano, if he could just survive that Blue Jays matchup, being in Tampa Bay against the Rays is a really nice place to pick up strikeouts. Yeah, I don't know how much I like any of those guys. The two start options this week are kind of not great.
I'll be starting Bundy over Papelbon, I can tell you that much.
There you go. Bundy's actually not starting pitcher eligible yet. You have to use him as a relief. He's only started three games.
I didn't realize that. Okay, Chris, time to read some emails. Rest of the show is a mailbag show. Emails and tweets. This is from Frazier. Scope or... You ready for this? Scope or Stanton, rest of the season?
Yeah, Stanton.
I dropped Jonathan Scope for D. Gordon. Tough call yesterday. Points league.
That's really tough. Jonathan Scope's been amazing this season.
It was really tough.
I'm in one of my keeper leagues. I had someone who's really trying to get Jonathan Scope, and he's selling because he's got like Mookie Betts and Jonathan LaCroix, and he can't keep either of them for next season. So I've been trying to get them, but like he wanted Noah Syndergaard, he wanted Jonathan Scope, and I'm just like, these guys are too valuable for me.
Yeah, and it's tough. I think Scope's been struggling a little bit, so I'm thinking maybe there's a slump coming. That was the only thing that made me pull the trigger on dropping him for D. Gordon, but that was a tough one. Roto, I mean.
But yes, you know, Giancarlo Stanton over Jonathan Scope.
Yeah, that's an easy one. This is from Corey Kelly. Would you drop Jameson Taillon for Dylan Bundy?
I think I would.
No.
Yeah, I think I would.
Really? Taillon's pitching so well.
He is pitching well. I don't know how much upside he has, though. I know he's a really good young pitcher, but I don't know how much like in the moment upside he has just because he doesn't seem to have the big swing and miss potential that Bundy has.
I just want to see Dylan Bundy have one start of more than six innings before I drop a guy like Taillon for him. Maybe I just think more of Taillon.
That makes sense. I was in a situation in one of my leagues where I really wanted to add Bundy and I couldn't figure out how to do it. Finally, D. Gordon coming back really helped it help make the decision because I just dropped Derek Dietrich.
Oh, well, yeah, that works. So Mark says, in all my leagues, there's a trade deadline, which means a lot fewer moves for the last few weeks of the season and the playoffs. What are some strategy decisions that I should be making now to get ready for the post-deadline weeks and push toward the playoffs in my league?
The most obvious one is you need to make sure that if you've got any of those shutdown candidates on your roster that you either sell high on the guys like Aaron Sanchez, maybe. Jose Fernandez is such a tough one because by his, you know, publicly speculated innings limit, he's probably only got eight starts left if they really pull the plug at 180 innings. Whether they do that in the middle of a playoff run, I'm doubtful, but you have to keep that in mind and you know, some other younger pitchers like that.
Do you, as a Marlins fan, seeing what happened to the Mets last year and how it may have be affecting their pitching this year, do you want the Marlins to make the playoffs?
Yeah.
But do you want them to shut Jose Fernandez down if they get to the playoffs?
No. Look, I get it, and I'm usually on the side of defer to the long-term health of the pitchers, but when I look at the Marlins, I look at a situation where they're probably going to have to blow that team up in the next 3 years no matter what because they just don't have any young players to supplement them. That team's going to be what it is, and if they can't win, they're going to have to blow it up. They're close enough that I think just go for it. That's why I'm okay with the Cashner trade. Like, Cashner's not a big difference maker, but he legitimately improves them, and at some point, this is the time when you should go all in.
Okay. So from Antoine now, another email. Looking to pick up Dahl, Kendrick, or Naquin? Should I drop Valencia and or Justin Upton for two of those guys? If so, which two? So he's got Valencia and Justin Upton. Is that a sigh?
No. Okay. It was a grunt.
Valencia and Justin Upton. He's looking to pick up Dahl, Kendrick, or Naquin. What would you suggest?
Maybe Valencia because of playing time concerns, but I'm not sure. I would drop either of them.
Who would you pick up? Dahl?
Yeah, probably.
Tim in St. Louis. Dear Clark, Bruce, and Diana.
Some, like, Batman crap.
Yeah, right? Who's Diana? Is that from Batman versus Superman?
Isn't that their mom? Wasn't that the whole thing with that movie?
Oh, I don't know. Did you just spoil it?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it may have.
I don't know. Someone has a spear.
Okay.
Aquaman's trident has five dents.
Tim has J.D. Martinez and Hunter Pence coming off the DL. Who should he drop? Melvin Upton Jr., Adam Duvall, Yanhervis Solarte, Martin Prado, or Jurickson Profar? Pick two.
Prado?
Yes.
And we don't have a format, right?
No.
If it's points, Adam Duvall. If it's Roto, maybe Profar?
Maybe Upton. Hopefully you
maybe.
Get a
yeah.
idea of his playing time by yeah. the time those two come off the DL. But the first guy to drop is Prado.
Yep.
From Jake. This might be a stupid question, but should I drop Tyler Naquin for Hunter Pence? I'm out of roster spots.
I think you should.
Yeah. It's not a stupid question. It's very reasonable. But like I said, Pence wasn't really playing great, and he was still top 25 outfielder. Adam from Bowling Green. Hey, Kevin, Paul, and Ray.
I have no idea.
That feels like Wonder Years. No, maybe. That feels like the Celtics.
Mikhail Pearson.
No, Garnett and Allen. I had
Garnett
to Google
Pearson,
that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So Adam says, I had someone in my head-to-head league drop Clayton Kershaw on waivers. Am I dumb to use all my stashed waiver cash to pick him up for the slim chance that Kershaw comes back this year?
Woo, that is...
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah, I mean...
Use some. Use a good chunk if you want.
Yeah.
But not all. In fact, yeah, okay.
There's a chance he doesn't come back.
What percentage of your fab would you use on Clayton Kershaw if he were available?
Assuming a zero bid league. Definitely more than half.
Yeah, I was thinking like 60%.
Yeah, something like that. It depends. If you're in a comfortable spot where you've got the depth to survive it either way, like if it's just a supplemental move, then I think you can go even more.
Josiah Rose asks, please rank these three pitchers, or the top three pitchers, and who will be the best down the stretch for the fantasy playoffs? We don't have their schedules except for Skaggs. Gray, Skaggs, Bundy, Manaea, Snell, Davies, and Shields. So Skaggs is a tough schedule. Snell also has a tough schedule. Gray, yeah. Skaggs, Bundy, Manaea, Snell, Davies, Shields.
I think I'm probably going... God, Gray's so tough. If I knew how many home starts and road starts he had left, that would make it so much easier.
That is worth looking up. I will look into.
I'm probably not including Bundy, Davies, or Shields in here. Bundy, I think, just a little more risky than the rest of them. Shields and Davies, I just don't think have as much upside. So I think I'm going Manaea, Gray, Snell.
All right, this is the John Gray schedule beginning August. They have an 8-game homestand against the Dodgers, Marlins, and Rangers.
Okay.
Then they have 2 at Texas to complete the 4-game series and 3 at Philadelphia. And then they come home for 6, Washington and the Cubs. And
they have played 4 more road games so far this season. So,
at this point, they're going to go 1 week at home, 1 week on the road, 1 week at home, 1 week on the road, mostly. Then they have a pretty big homestand, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Giants, from late August to early September, then at San Diego, at Arizona, then home against San Diego and St. Louis, at the Dodgers, at the Giants, and finish with 3 home games against Milwaukee. It's not a great schedule.
I'm going Manaea, Snell, Gray.
Snell scares the crap out of me, though, because a lot of Blue Jays, Royals, a lot of Blue Jays, Red Sox.
Yeah.
And who am I? Yankees. Who else is in that division? Or Orioles.
Orioles.
There you go. Greg Ward in Massachusetts. Gray the trade. Give Andrew McCutchen. Get Brian Dozier.
B-.
You'd rather have Dozier?
Oh, no, I had it backwards. Okay, C-. I think look, McCutchen's been not good this season.
Yeah.
And Dozier's been really good for the last, 2.5 months. But McCutchen could absolutely go on that kind of run toward down the stretch and really make you regret making this move.
Scott in Rochester. Dear CBNS.
I don't get it.
Matt Shoemaker was just dropped in my 10-team head-to-head league. Are any of these guys worth dropping for Shoemaker? The answer is going to be yes. Nola, Bundy, Gray, Snell, Tyone, McCarthy.
Bundy, drop Nola, McCarthy. McCarthy.
Because he's got a really brutal week coming up right now. And that's an easy one if you're just playing to win right now. And I would rather have Shoemaker than I think every pitcher on that list. How about you? Nola, Bundy, Gray, yeah. Snell, Tyone, McCarthy.
Yes, definitely. And the two guys that are on his DL, Carlos Rodon and Tywin Walker, I'd rather have Shoemaker than either one of them.
Trey from the hometown of Vice President Dan Quayle.
No idea.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you what state Dan Quayle was from. I was born in 1988. I have no idea.
Yeah. You were born in 1988?
Yeah.
God, that's very strange. Very strange.
Do I give off an older air? It's because I'm so grumpy.
Well, I was born in 84. I'm just trying to look up where he was born. He was born... Where were you born? In Indiana.
Okay.
He's born in Indianapolis. See, very Midwestern, that Dan Quayle. Trey says, dear, black and white cookie, cinnamon babka, chocolate babka, and Schnitzer's marble rye. Seinfeld.
Oh, okay.
D. Gordon's been on my 10-team 5x5 categories bench since the suspension. I have Pedroia. Do I sit tight to see how Gordon performs or try to trade one of them right now?
I think you definitely try to trade one of them. I think you almost definitely try to trade Dustin Pedroia. People are probably going to be a little scared off of D. Gordon because he's coming back from a steroid suspension.
But that's the thing. Are you willing to trade Pedroia not knowing how Gordon's going to do, because Gordon was pretty bad before the suspension?
I feel pretty confident that he's going to be fine. I'm not so concerned that that coming back from a steroid suspension really hurts most players. I think most of the evidence suggests that they don't. They tend to perform roughly where they were beforehand, so I'm not concerned about that. I think he just got off to a slow start this season. I think the suspension might have been hanging over his head for the last couple of weeks too.
But he went over 4 yesterday, Chris. What more do you need?
That's true.
Oh, that was a sigh. Yes.
Cut him.
5.5. 5.5.
So yeah, I'm trying to trade Pedroia. He is I think riding high a little bit after a couple of he's been good for about the last week or so. He's actually having a really good season overall. It's a bounce back season, but really good for the last couple of weeks. I think D. Gordon will be better down the stretch, so I would be looking to move Pedroia.
Okay. That's it for one of the best shows of the year. One of the best shows. And you went
one
radio
of the best shows of the last 24 hours.
No, it was a great
top
show.
Two.
You went radio silent there on the size, but you're back. 5.5 to end the show. Very impressive stuff. And Chris, thank you. Thanks for filling in today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for this week. Coming back. What are we? Week 18 next week?
Week 18.
Unbelievable.
Just a reminder of how short the football season is. That's all baseball
and
basketball.
I heard you say that last week, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
For Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. That's it. Have a great weekend. Bye. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the bait that scare ya.